The book of Psalm, chapter 18. We're going through the Psalms on Sunday afternoon. In this 18th Psalm, we find some interesting thoughts. David shares his mind, his heart, his desires. You know, is in the heart of everyone, no matter who they are, saved or unsaved, when they're dealing with a great trial in their life, that they need something or someone on which to rely and to find their strength. This psalm is David's revealing to the reader the source, and that's a capital S, the source of his strength and the place, and that is a capital P, the source and the place of his refuge in difficult times. Now, difficult times could be anything. It could be a health issue. It could be a financial issue. It could be a relational issue. It could be anything that brings difficulty into our life. And when we look at this, I hope that we will be encouraged to do as David did. Well, in verses 1 to 3, we find David rejoicing. He is rejoicing. Verse 1, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. It's amazing to me as I read this how David just rattled off these things about God. I wonder if we have that kind of relationship with the Lord that if someone says, tell me about your God, we could just go, you know, like this, just rattling off what he is and who he is and what he does. David used these descriptive words. We see, first of all, point A, the expression of his rejoicing. He says, one, I will. So it's personal. I'm going to do this. And I will love thee. It's emotional. I will love thee, O Lord. This word love means to show compassion. Interestingly enough, David uses this word that is used 47 times in the Old Testament, most of which refer to God loving. God loving those that are unlovable. God loving Israel. God loving people. But here David uses that word. I will love thee. I will show compassion, an expression of love to you, Lord. And then we find point B, the terms that he uses to describe God. He says, God is my strength. This word is used once in the Old Testament, and that's right here. And the word means the ability to do something. God is my ability to do something. You ever think about life that way? You ever think about what you do that you don't do it in your own strength, in your own power? You do it through the strength and the power that God gives to you. And if God didn't give you ability, if God didn't give you strength, if God didn't make your mind function, if God didn't cause your eyes to see, you wouldn't do anything. Because that's what the Scripture teaches. And that's the way we ought to look at God. It'll definitely tear down our independent spirit. I'm a man or I'm a woman. I don't need anything or anyone. We need God because without Him, we are nothing. So David said He is the strength, the source of His ability. He says God is his rock. The idea is of a large boulder, a foundation of stability and protection. It's something on which you can stand knowing that this rock's not going anywhere. How many of you have been to Caesar's Head? Well, some of you ought to go. You haven't been there. You know, or else. But that's a rock there. If you fly off the edge and look back, you haven't done that. So you don't own a drone, do you? I mean, you know, but if you look and get an opportunity to see Caesar's Head from the other side, from the side where you better have a parachute, you'll see that's a massive rock there. And this is the kind of rock that David's talking about. God is my large boulder, the foundation. I can stand on Him and I know it's sure. It's not going anywhere. God is my fortress. He is a place with high walls providing protection from attack. When you're under attack, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. He hides me in that fortress. David said, God is my high wall. It doesn't matter who's coming, who's fighting, who's set after me, who's attacking me. I'm secure in God. Nothing's going to get over that wall unless God allows it to get over the wall. And if God allows it to get over the wall, He has a purpose for it, He has a plan for it, and He'll take care of me. God is his fortress. God is his deliverer, the one who delivers him from evil. It's not, well, I've just made up my mind, I'm not going to do any evil. No, it's God that helps me to have a desire not to want to do evil. And I'm totally dependent on God for my ability not to do evil. Without God giving me a desire and an ability to not do evil, I will do evil. But he is my deliverer. He's my buckler or shield, one who defends the arrows and spears from the enemy. He is the horn of my salvation. The horn was that which was used in battle to send the troops forth. He is the power of my salvation. He is the power of my battle. And he is my high tower or a stronghold. It's different from a fortress. It's a high tower, a place where one can get there and be protected because no one can get up that tower. You're at an advantage. You can throw rocks down. You can throw arrows down. You can shoot your gun down and nobody's going to get up to you. Now here are seven things that David says that God is to him. Terms that he uses to describe God as he is rejoicing. In verse 3, David saw God as his all in all. Verse 3, he says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. God was the one to whom he would pray. God was the one to whom he would give his praise. God was the one who would deliver him from his enemies. So in these first three verses, David gives a marvelous 7-point outline sermon on who God is as he's rejoicing in the Lord. Then he gives his reasons for rejoicing in verse 4 through 45. David gives his reasons, point 2. The reasons for his rejoicing, verse 4. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me, or the sorrows of the grave compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. David had been at the point of being destroyed by his enemies, but he hadn't been destroyed. That's why he's rejoicing in God. Verse 6 through 15. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub. And he did fly, yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion. Round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coal of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightning and discomforted them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. David had been at the point of destruction by his enemies, but God had been his rescuer. And what an expressive way he shares this. Is this all literal? You'll have to ask David when you get to heaven. Better ask God. But this is what David saw God doing. He saw the mighty hand of God at work. He saw the power of God delivering him from his enemies. He saw the strength of the Lord and the magnificence of his delivering God. And he rejoiced in that because God had been his rescuer. In verse 16, he sent from above, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me or stopped me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. You see, not only was he in jeopardy of being destroyed and saw God rescue him, but God delivered him personally. He saw God's hand in his deliverance. It wasn't, it just happened that way, or luck came along. No, it was the direct hand of God, and David saw it, and he knew it, and he gave glory and credit back to God. That's why we have the praise services on Sunday afternoons. That's why we have them on Wednesday nights. Because God needs to be praised. And we need to hear somebody in the audience telling of how God has been with them in a particular situation so that I can look at my own life and see God's hand in my life and I can recognize more fully God at work in me. And it's not just happenstance. It's God at work. And so David says, God not only rescued me, but he did it personally. He drew me. He delivered me from my strong enemy. In verse 19 through 24, he brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. God rewarded David because David had been faithful to God. Now remember, we go back and we look at these seven characteristics that David described God as being, and we understand from the things that he says about God that he knows he is righteous and he's living free from his iniquity and he's living a life before God that's pleasing because God is enabling him to do it. It's not because he's such a good, outstanding Christian. Folks, don't ever forget, we're just sinners. Sinners saved by the grace of God. The Apostle Paul, if he was a member of any church, would be the most outstanding church member. But he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He never took credit for anything that he did in his own strength, in his own power, in his own ability. It always went back to God. And David here is sharing that God has rewarded him because of his faithfulness to God, but he's also already told us in advance that his faithfulness to God is because God working in him. Anything we do that's good, it's God. Anything we do that's bad, it's us. So anything we do that's good, that somebody wants to give us credit for, we need to be careful that we say, to God be all the glory. To God be the glory. But David saw God reward him because of his faithfulness to the Lord. Another reason for his rejoicing, verse 25 through 27. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. God's kindness is not restricted to David alone. Sometimes we see God working in other people's lives. We hear testimonies of how the Lord has intervened or met a great need or answered a prayer that's being prayed. And we're kind of in the same boat, but we're not seeing that. And the old devil will come and jump on our shoulder and say, well, if you were as good as they were, God would work in your life too. That's not scriptural. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians that we're not to compare ourselves among ourselves. Because they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. And when we hear of God working wonderfully in someone else's life, meeting a need, or doing what we would almost call a miracle, we need to rejoice with that believer because of what God's doing in their life and look forward to God doing something similar in our situation. It's just the timing's not right yet. Or God has another plan or another approach for our life. But God's keeping perfect records. And they may not do something for us that He's done for someone else, but we can be sure that God's kindness is not just restricted to a few of His favorite people. Because with God, there is no partiality. If you're His child, He loves you as much as the next child. and will work for you and in your life just as much as he does in the next child. In verse 28 through 36, "For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord, my God, will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to those who trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me that my feet did not slip." Another reason that David was praising God was because God guided and instructed David. He saw God's direction in his life. He was looking for God's direction. He wanted to know God's will for him. And he was eager to listen and let God instruct him. He was an eager student to learn from God. And therefore, God guided and instructed him. In verse 37 through verse 42, "I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength upon unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets." David is rejoicing in God because God had enabled David to be victorious over his enemies. In verse 43 to 45, "Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. The people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places." We see here David says God not only defeated his enemies, but he made them David's servants. So why is David rejoicing in God? Because God had been the one to destroy his enemies. God had been his rescuer. God had delivered him personally. God had rewarded him because of his faithfulness. And God had not just restricted that blessing to David alone. God had enabled David to be victorious over his enemies. And God had not only defeated David's enemies, but turned around and made them David's servants. His reasons. And then the last thing we see in verse 46 through verse 50 is David's refrain. Verse 46, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people unto me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praise unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore." His refrain. A great show of affection, appreciation by David. "I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name." Great affection. And then point B, great affirmation of his praise to God. One, because attention given to God alone. I see that my praise, my thanksgiving needs to go to God. Verse 46, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted." If I'm going to praise anybody, it's going to be my God. We see an affirmation that God is the source of His strength and His victories in verse 47. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. Point 3, verse 48, His acknowledgement that God was His deliverer and no one else. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, Thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. His acknowledgement. Hey, it's God doing this. It's not me. It's not my good captain over my soldiers. It's not my army. It's God. It's God using what we have. If anything around here will be done for God and the devil will be defeated, it'll be because God is doing it and not us. And we need to cry out to our God to do a great work. We need to cry out to our God to change people's lives. We need to cry out to God to save people's souls. We need to cry out to God to make us an instrument of light in this community to reach people with the gospel. Because if God doesn't do it, it'll never get done. And David in his refrain acknowledges this. And then 4th, verse 49 to 50. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forever. David attributes praise to God for such marvelous works of protection and complete deliverance from his enemies. This is one of those Psalms where David says, hey, if you need a source of strength, if you need a place of refuge, it's God. It's not somebody. It's not the preacher. It's not the deacons. It's not the church. It's God. It's God. And I say to you here tonight, it's God. God is all you need. And praise the Lord, if you know Him as Savior, you have Him. So rejoice in that and let Him guide and direct you through this week for your good and His glory. Help us, Father, to rest in You, to trust You, to cry out to You, to listen to You and obey You, to have a relationship with You this week that is unhindered by our own stupidity or our own iniquity, but God, that we would have a relationship with You this week that is humble on our part, desiring to learn from You, desiring to follow the teachings of Your Word, desiring to be all that You would have us to be. Thank You, Lord, that we have a wonderful Savior as Jesus, our Lord, and that we can find that refuge in the cleft of the rock that You are. Keep us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.